CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Thursday, the 2nd of December. Pumi Mashiko's here. Bulalo Tinta's here. Gareth, Cliff, you, me, everybody. You know what? We're going to make this a fun Thursday. It seems like these Thursdays are coming thick and fast. And before we know it, it's 2022. Yo. I don't know if I'm happy about that or sad about it, but I woke up this morning with the most beautiful soft rain outside. You know, it's light outside at like 5 in the morning now, which is beautiful. I could take this all year round. I wouldn't complain about it. Love the summer. Oh, I love the summer. You saying no, Pumi? What the hell?
No, this rain. Oh. Give me a Joburg afternoon thunderstorm, lots of lightning and thunder, 45 minutes of intense rain, and then can I have the sun back, please?
No, I get you, but there's something nice about waking up in the rain. I like that. You don't like that?
It's hard to wake up in the rain.
I have a theory why I like it. Is because when we were kids, sometimes if it was raining and it was coming down really, really hard, you wouldn't go to school that day. Because No, I'll tell you why. Because we used to live on a farm, so we were quite far away from school, right? And my mom used to drive us there was this one bridge that was often underwater. So you couldn't go. Yeah. So you couldn't go over the bridge. So if it was really hard rain in the morning, we'd kind of weigh it up, and my mom would go, I think we'll try the bridge today. And then we'd get dressed and go, oh, okay. And then sometimes we'd find that it was underwater and we'd have to turn around. But it wasn't often. It was like, I don't know, once or twice every 2 years.
Yeah. Did it ever happen that it wasn't raining hard in the morning and you were dropped off at school, and then it was raining hard in the afternoon and you couldn't be picked up?
No, funnily enough. That was the weird thing. because there was another way around, but it added like half an hour to the trip as well. So, it wasn't like we were stranded and we couldn't get anywhere, but it added a huge distance to the trip, and sometimes it just wasn't worth it. And also, there's something about waking up in the morning, because you know, like any extramural stuff may be canceled as well. So if it's raining in the morning, you're like, yay. It's going to be a short day today. Don't have to worry about any of that other shit. Pure laziness kicks in. Now, speaking of laziness, I had the most useless day yesterday. I had, I did the show in the morning, did a little bit of exercise, answered a few emails. But I honestly think my productivity yesterday was probably the lowest in terms of productivity that I've – my lowest output day of 2021 by far. I got so little –
Do you know why?
I don't know, Pums. I got so little done, though. I felt pretty useless.
I think it's the time of year.
Might be.
I think it's that time when the brain is also just fried, right? So it takes a lot longer to get anything done. And then it's hectic. This is the worst time ever, actually, because it's also very hot. And when it's hot, it's also difficult to get concentrating. Very hot is difficult to concentrate, and we're tired. And it's like been a lot.
I felt useless, and I'm not used to having a day where I do as little as that. You know, usually I've got a couple of things on the agenda. I have to go to the shops. I have to call up a few people, arrange a few meetings, or I'm busy sorting other stuff out, you know, generally tidying up, clearing out old emails, doing the useful stuff generally. And I just felt yesterday like I felt like
the answer is you're burnt out.
No, I felt like Princess Margaret. Like I didn't have a purpose yesterday. You know how she just, you know, how Princess Margaret just used to like have a swim
party
and party and like that. Now, I didn't party yesterday. It was a Wednesday. I did have a swim in the afternoon. That I did. But I felt like, what am I? There's no urgency here. I almost felt like adding extra responsibilities to my life for no good reason. Like, you know, doing some charity thing or, I don't know, adopting a pet or something. I felt like adding responsibilities to my life because I felt, Jesus, I've got nothing to do. This is pathetic.
Please, adding a responsibility and doing a charity thing. Please, can I just put this out there? If anybody's Santa Shoebox.
Tell me about it.
Santa Shoebox Project. So you may have heard about it. You get a shoebox if you can, or something, a box the size of a shoebox, and then you fill it with stuff, a gift, and you can write on it. You can get a sticker and you can write on it that this is for a 14-year-old girl.
Oh, right.
Or a 10-year-old boy.
Okay.
Or you just fill it with stuff, and then there's various places where you can drop it off.
Yeah.
Such a good idea. I was in Pietermaritzburg yesterday. Well, yesterday I was driving back, but the day before, and we went to one of the youth projects that we're working with, and they were giving away Santa shoebox gifts to the kids. It was, oh my word, guys, it's so exciting for the kids.
Well, you see, this is something we could do.
Full of stuff.
I like that. I might just pack up some stuff and do a bit of a spring clean, because I know what a project that is, and it'll take me a good day and a half, maybe 2 days to do it. But maybe that's something fun that I could do. And I say fun in inverted commas because I love cleaning up, right? So I could find some things around the house that I don't use anymore, put them in one of these shoe boxes. That is a great idea. Where do you send this stuff?
There are various places. I know you can drop it off at in Rosebank Mall. They've got a collection point.
Mm.
But I think if you just look Santa Shoebox Project, you can drop it off. But it's so easy. So easy. You just, you know, there's like no big responsibility of you have to get. You can get anything and just fill the box with stuff. It can be like crayons and sweets and a T-shirt and,
beautiful.
It was so exciting to see the kids get their like shoe boxes and open them up and like, oh.
You see, this is why I bring these embarrassing things up about how I didn't have anything to do yesterday and I felt unproductive. Because look, you've given me a solution. I knew I'd find something useful out of this. Nico says, most people that comment here can probably say it, but good morning. And this is the number one podcast of 2021 for Nico. Well, you know what? I've been getting a lot of Instagram stories of people who Spotify have compiled people's, you know, top podcasts of 2021, for example. And Nico actually sent me that just before I woke up this morning. So some nice messages. Lots of people saying that they have loved listening to us this year and, you know, thanks for doing the show and all that stuff. Well, I mean, that's what we're here for. That's our thing.
Can I just ask you something, Gareth?
Hmm.
How long were you making your parents drive or your mom drive over that death bridge?
Oh.
I've just been thinking the whole time. Like,
almost.
At what stage weren't they thinking, just send these kids to boarding school?
Almost all of my high school, because certainly
that's
first...
unbelievable.
First 3.5 years, maybe even 4 years of my... Yeah. It was hectic. First of all, our school didn't offer boarding, and they did say to me when I was about to go into high school, do you want to go to a boarding school or do you want to go to the closest school? And I was like, I'd rather go to the closest school, because the boarding school is an all boys school. And I was like, let's mix it up.
This is something I've always noted between the difference I noted, black families, white families, where your parents talk to you and what do you want to?
Oh, no. It's like, before you...
That's such
before
a foreign you, world to me.
Before you think that it's just a black-white thing. So both of my parents went to boarding school. They had no say in the matter. They were like, you're being shipped off.
No.
That's just what happened. There was no talking about it.
I can't believe they asked you what school you want to go to.
Yeah, well, well, there were options.
I know lots of black kids who were asked. I know lots of black kids who chose the school that they went to.
Oh, well, I'm stunned by that.
Yeah, and Bulelo thinks that when something happens to him, it happens to everybody. That's what he thinks.
Like Bulelo.
He's always flummoxed by somebody who has a, you know, who might think the same way as he does, look the same way as he does, but might have had a different experience. He's always like, oh, look at that.
I remember in high school feeling like a lot of people around me, I was just like, why are they so lucky? People getting to choose what schools they get to go to. Some of the schools weren't like great schools, but anyway, but they still got to be like, oh, I want to go to that school.
Good morning to all, says Cabello, and the lady above. So we got to find a way of putting Pumi at the top, because the other day, who was it that called you? Sivangesi. Sivangesi called you the lady above during the burning platform. So that's become your nickname this year, Pums.
I'm not going to forgive Siv for that. The lady above. Very much.
Kharda says she starts her day with a 30-minute meditation session. Wow.
Wow.
That's very disciplined. I like that. Followed by this show, she says, what a way to start the day. Well, I hope that that continues. You got to keep us on our toes here, you know, because even though we're a part of so many people's daily routine, I would hate us to become boring and you replace us with another podcast because we're no longer relevant. So keep us on our toes. That's part of the reason we like to have the comments every morning. So, you know, honest feedback, it'll help. Graham says, this is Graham, who often is, you know, like the most barbed comments of the morning come from Graham. So he says, honestly, paying taxes all year is enough charity for one hardworking citizen, if you ask me, but I should probably find some charity to support for Christmas. Yeah, you know, if you've got the time and the patience and the inclination. I mean, we had a woman on with Lebang on Tuesday, who's doing really interesting work for people who are everyone who's, you know, from prisoners who, God, can you imagine being in prison for the festive season? That must be really shit. Right through to orphanages.
Have you seen the story that's like all of the big American story of the lady who wrote The Lovely Bones? And she also wrote I forgot what the second book is, which is about her life. And she wrongly accused a man of raping her and then wrote a bestseller about that. He was in prison for 16 years. When he came out of prison, he had to get registered on a sex offender list. A year ago, a producer who was working on an adaptation of her book that's about her life. She's made millions and millions and millions of US dollars, bestseller, this book of hers. And she lied.
Bitch.
That is horrendous.
I've told you before on the show, that these wrongfully accused situations are my absolute worst. I have such a thing about them that I must have in a previous life been wrongfully accused of something and burnt to death by a mob or there's something that like it infects and affects and changes my whole mood when I hear a story like that. It bothers me. I can't watch a movie like The Green Mile. You remember that? Or anything where any of these movies where someone gets accused, doesn't matter who they are, and it turns out that they're innocent. Oh my God, I have such a bad reaction to those things. And I my whole day gets spoiled. I can't deal with it. I'm sure that in a previous life, I must have been accused of witchcraft or like something terrible in a little village somewhere. I don't believe that you can do this hypnotic regression therapy and go back into your life. If I did believe in it, I know I would go to a hypnotist. They'd put me under. There'd be some fucking moment where like a mob of people with pitchforks and torches would be descending on me and I would be burnt or killed for something I hadn't even done. I know it. It's just, I know deep inside that that's what happened to me. It drives me up the wall. And now every time I hear anybody, like a story that you've just told now, I go cold. I'm like that poor fucking person. Oh, jeez. Drives me up the wall.
So is she going to jail now? Or how does it work in this situation?
The story is in The Guardian. I think it's also in The New York Times.
How do you make up for that?
I think she should be sued, and that I think all that man needs is revenge and retribution, like of the utter, not even kind of, oh, I've been exonerated. No. And this is, so it was discovered in the making of this documentary or this film about her book. I don't know if, what, and the producer actually kind of, when they were researching, and was it, the story is not adding up, girl, the story is not adding up. And he, he resigned from the project. He resigned from the project and I think got a lawyers to represent the man, and the case was tried again. It is a horrendous story.
Disgusting.
I think this woman must be sued for every cent she has ever made. The book has been pulled in the UK and some parts of the US. Guys.
No good.
I think she must be thrown in a hole.
Yeah, she should be in big trouble. You know, if you wrongfully accuse someone, and this happens a lot more than we'd like to admit, it's also the reason, one of the good reasons why you should be opposed to a death penalty, because who knows how many people have been killed for things that they didn't even do. And you discover it so many years later, you know, they do DNA testing or whatever, and some sleuth picks up the case and they discover that this is not the person who did it. And then that person's already dead. And there needs to be retribution for those people who've been wronged in that way. I feel very strongly about this stuff.
Retribution, like revenge, just pure salty revenge.
Absolutely. We've got a need for that. You can't deny it. It's not the greatest human emotion. It's not one of those ones that we would list as our finest achievements or our finest feelings or our finest instincts. But man, do we need it.
But in some moments, it is absolutely necessary.
Absolutely. So Khadra, the same Khadra who meditates every day for 30 minutes, says on Christmas Day, she and her family drive around for about an hour, handing out beautifully wrapped gifts to the guys on the street, useful goodies and some spoils. You say, that's amazing. No matter how tough some people's years are, they still have this incredible ability to find energy, time, and resources for others. I love that, Khada. That's fantastic. Natalie says, Santa's shoebox is not for things that you don't want. I understand now. Thank you, Natalie. She says, you make up a box for a child of a certain age with stationery, toiletries, a toy, etc. So that's the idea. Ryan says, this is interesting. I see Yaku, our friend Bulelo, we both saw him on Tuesday, from Catalytic, cracked the top 30 highest earning tech CEOs in South Africa. Well done to Yaku. That's awesome.
Ah, good.
I'm so happy to hear that. That's terrific. Yeah. And he works damn hard. He's very good at what he does. I love hearing about people like that being successful. What are the perks of boarding school, says Jean. Well, Mbulelo, you went to boarding school.
Jean, you should have been here last week.
Yeah, and we spoke...
I don't know.
We spoke about how your son's going to go to boarding school next year. Hey, Pums?
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
I mean, I'm biased. I think everyone after in high school should be in boarding school, but that's for each person to kind of decide on their own. But I think the perks are far greater than being a day scholar, 100% for sure. You have to solve your own problems very early on, otherwise you get into big trouble.
And so man, did you have a lot of problems. How many problems did you solve?
What kind of problems did you have in Bulelo?
Yeah, I want to hear.
So let me tell you something. You know, when you come from a city, you're generally quite protected. Your mommy and daddy, if you say something nasty to someone at school, because that's generally the problem kids have. And then your mom comes, picks it up, talks to the headmaster. In boarding school, that guy's going to come and punch you in the face immediately. That's going to happen immediately. And if you keep doing that, he's going to keep punching you in the face because he's from the farms. He's not one of these little softies. Oh, mommy, let's talk about it. So just those kinds of things. And also, there's so many dynamics when you're living with young kids. You know, there's so many power dynamics and insecurity in there, is that people are always doing stuff to be the main guy or the main girl. And you've got to kind of navigate that world. Listen, I want to be honest with you. Boarding school is a place for savages. It turns you into a savage. I want to be very clear right now. It is not a place for everyone. It's not a soft place. It's not although, the Michael House that was depicted by John Cleese.
Yeah, but also things have changed quite a lot, Bulelo. So when you went to school, you know, there were certain things that were traditions then that they don't do anymore. And I think a lot has changed. And boarding schools, parents are a lot more involved now. You know, the schools themselves have to do things that they didn't have to do back in the day when you were there, or even earlier than that when my parents were there. So I think a lot has changed.
So also, Mulelo, were you the person saying nasty things and getting punched in the face?
Or oh, yeah.
Were you the person having nasty things? So you were a gossip?
I loved it. Not a gossip.
Can't shut his mouth on this show. Do you think he would have shut his mouth when he was a kid? He must have been the loudest, most obnoxious kid. Can you imagine, Bulelo, not taking anyone?
Plus, I was really good at sports. So I was going to let people know about that as well. Like if you, and I learned great lessons there was that, because a lot of the farm boys from there, is that they're not the same. You can't just talk to them in a certain way, like Joburg, or I was from here. Like eventually a guy for a year and a half.
Well,
whenever I talk, he'd come and flatten me.
I do see a lot of
lights out.
I see a lot of young men who've never, because again, like from my age onward, we didn't have military service, so we never really were taught to obey and listen and follow any kind of hierarchical rule. In some ways that's obviously great, in some ways that's terrible. But a lot of men have still not grown up with any kind of understanding of normal power dynamics and how you can't just say what you want because you will get clapped or you'll end up in other trouble. You know, in the office you could be, you know, insubordinate in a certain way and it's considered cheeky, but in other ways you could be considered like a liability to the company. And a lot of people think they can just get away with doing what they want. And we've spoken about this a million times. It's like parents tell their kids, you can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you want to do. You can say anything you want to say. And then they come face to face with the real world. And someone somewhere is going to go, oh, no, you can't. That's not how it works.
The greatest lesson of boarding school for me was the relation to power. Like you're saying, I mean, I went to a really conservative one where the power sat on top of you all the time. And what I learned the best was that, you know how teachers and adults think they can pick the leaders, the captains of the cricket team, the head of house. People knew very well, say, when things are going down now, get the hell out the way, man. That's the guy. You get the hell out the way. Like, now it's a scrum on the 5-meter line and they've picked a captain who's some goody two shoes. Chief, get out the way. Let this guy talk.
Exactly.
That's what we're doing. Whatever this guy says, we've picked this guy. He's our guy.
Kids find like their own leaders.
That's the greatest lesson. Yeah, that's the guy. You're wearing your sash. Get the hell out.
Yeah, leadership.
And everyone knows.
This is such an interesting discussion, and it's something we might actually want to get our old friend Adrian Groenewald back on, because, you know, he's written endless articles about leadership, and he used to host the Leadership Platform here on Cliff Central, and he's probably, when it comes to that word leadership, he's the person who pops into my mind most. And I'd like to know from him, especially with all the research that he's done and all the people he's interviewed, whether leadership is actually something which other people can choose for you, or whether it's just an organic thing that happens because of what you've just said, Bulelo. You know, there are some people who just, everybody just gravitates towards them, and they just, you could see it in politics sometimes. You can see it in businesses. You can even see it in families. You know, sometimes you've just got a mom who's one of those people that everyone in the family just, they wait for her to say yes before they go along with something. Sometimes in the workplace, the leader is not the supposed alpha male, you know, strong guy who's always got an opinion on things. Sometimes that leader is someone who's quietly exercising, you know, a kind of dominion and a care for things that makes them the natural leader. I think we've got to have Adrian on maybe early next year to talk about this a little bit, because in organizations, it's not as cut and dried as people think it is. And it does start at school.
Not anymore.
Yeah, and it does start at school.
And I mean, I've come to realize that the school I went to is rather unique because it's only boarders. So what that does, it affects every part of the ecosystem. So if some guys aren't doing well in school, again, nobody's listening to the head boy. Is the guys who are the leaders of the cricket team, he's going to have a word with you. Say, listen, pal, what's going on? We're listening to that guy. You can't pick the guy I'm going to listen to. And I mean, there's lots of those types of idiosyncrasies, which you just can't replicate in real life. And those are the greatest benefits I took.
But well, I mean, here are some comments before we get to the headlines this morning. Dude 69 says, my cousin still has issues with people arriving late when he invites them. His dad was always late to pick him up at the boarding school on a Friday, so he's pretty damaged. I'm telling you, that stuff does. It affects you in the long term.
That's a real thing.
Yeah. Linda saying that in that wrongful accused situation that Pumi was telling us, that this person needs to be charged and sent to jail. And you know, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that stuff that you hear about, like these women who make up these rape allegations against a guy. And that also, those, so, you know, I mean, the same thing.
Her name is Alice Siebold. Her name is Alice Siebold. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole article about her where she says, I will, and the quote is, I will forever be sorry.
Oh, God, please. Like, that's going to make them feel better.
Apologizes.
Yeah, she's an American author known for her novels, The Lonely Bones and The Lovely Bones and Almost Moon, and her memoir, Lucky. She's best known for being a New York Times bestseller turned into a film. Yeah, and they say that she's made a ton of money out of this. She's 58 years old this year. What a story.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right, a couple of quick comments as well.
1981.
Yeah. Let me just see this quickly. I do past life regression therapy and crystal healing meditation, says Eddie. Oh, Mbulelo would love to spend time with you.
Oh, my God.
Can we please...
Eddie, I do like that. I like Eddie's profile picture.
Yeah. Let me just see Eddie's profile picture. Why? What's that all about? Where is it now? There it is. It's got like
a past life regression thing.
He's got like a karate bonsai bandana on. Yeah.
Having a good time.
All right. Couple of others. Gareth, do you remember when you pretended to be Jesus? Almost got burned at the stake there. Yeah, we did an interview with Jesus, and I played the role of Jesus as well as myself. That caused quite a lot of shit.
Oh, my God. Where was that? I need to hear it.
Oh, dude.
Was that on 5FM?
That was years ago, yeah. And it got unbelievable opprobrium from everybody. You can't believe it. I was suspended for that. I wasn't fired, though. And then I interviewed God about Jesus. Now, in fact, you know what it was around? It was around the time of that Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ.
Yes.
So I remember I interviewed Jesus. He had this like strong Yiddish accent. So he's like, hello, how are you? It's good to see you. What is happening, Gareth? And then I said to him, are you going to be offering any like special, collector's item stuff at the premiere? And he said, yeah, you know, Mel Gibson's done a good job here. I'm very pleased to have a movie made about me. We'll be offering bread and fishes for everybody at the premiere. And, little bits of the True Cross will be available and that kind of shit. So it got me into huge shit. I didn't care in those days. I mean, I still don't care, but then I used to be absolutely fearless. In fact, I kind of wanted to get into trouble more than anything else. There are also comments here. Kids at our boarding school played with explosives and built bombs, says Hein.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, 100%. There's always, we had plenty of that. Plus, we had a big playground where you could do that kind of stuff anywhere and no one would hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Our boarding school had...
Listen, when you...
Yeah? Go on.
No, I was going to say, when you have sort of 600 boys together, one thing I want to tell parents, there's no bad ideas with boys that age. There are no bad ideas. We will push the limits right from, let's take so-and-so, I mean... I had a fight with a guy. He put all of my food and stuff that my parents had sent on my mattress as I got back from a rugby game freezing.
Yes, you told
there
us about
it is
this.
In the river.
In the river, yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, all of that. Let's do paddle races on mattresses as well. Let's get involved in that, guys. What about the effects of that? Where are we going to sleep? Doesn't matter, guys. Who's winning? What team are we in? Let's get some shirts and let's get this thing going.
Yeah.
And – you know, we got to compete with the other houses. If you don't do it, it's a whole situation. Yeah.
Well, Stink Mina says, I went to boarding school, and Bulelo's right. Boarding school turns a boy into a man. Yeah, listen, I don't know a lot of people who went to boarding school who were like damaged and wouldn't recommend it for their own children. Most of the people, men and women that I know, including my own parents, who loved boarding school, but they didn't have a say in it. They were like, your parents, just because they lived far out of town, they had to go to boarding school, so they didn't have an option. And they look back on it fondly. It is worth mentioning, since my parents kept this from all of us until we were in high school, and I think we overheard a conversation. Both of my parents were expelled from school. Both of them. So if there's a rebellious streak, I have a whole lot of that in me too. They were both expelled, which is hilarious. Yeah. So, all right, lots and lots of comments coming in. Keep those going. We'll get to them in a moment or two. We've also got the Burning Platform today, which is very exciting. And we are wrapping up the Burning Platform with a couple of real bumper episodes with some great guests this next few weeks. So do not miss any of it. We are looking forward to having some really, really great people join us in the new year as well. And if you have suggestions as to who you want to hear from in the Burning Platform, let us know. All right. So they've canceled the Bolito Rage Festival. Now, you know, like my friend Greg is one of the organizers there. I feel so sorry for this guy because he had to go to unbelievable lengths to even be able to put this on. I mean, this is their business, right? And they were testing people. And they were testing everybody who went in, and they were making sure everybody who went in had a vaccination. And they still ended up with 40 people who tested positive before the event even went ahead. So they had to cancel the whole festival. And I feel sorry for Matrix too, because what a shit year to be a Matrix. You know, you hardly went to school. And then when you did go to school, you had to wear masks and you couldn't even be around your friends that much. And then you had to write Matrix exams. And God knows what that was like under COVID. And now they can't even have fun. Like every other Matrix group in history, with the exception of the last 2 years, has been able to do something, even if it's just, you know, be with your friends. The last 2 years, that's obviously been a real disaster. So I feel sorry for the Matrix. I feel sorry for the people who organize these things. And, you know, the media are so complicit in this, because last year was obviously, you know, a super spreader, which, by the way, was not their fault. There were all these people who were going to all kinds of establishments in December last year that led to an uptick in the number of cases. And if anything, they were trying to be responsible last year, but they got blamed for the second wave. And so everyone was waiting for them to be blamed for a fourth wave this year, and just made it impossible for, you know, for any kind of event to be organized for these Matrix. So just from my point of view, I feel desperately sorry for the Matrix and for the people who tried to organize these parties for them. Now they're not going to be able to do it. Don't think that that's not going to stop the Matrix from having fun, though. They'll still find a way to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but thoughts and prayers to Craig, who's been mustering up the energy to ask Melissa out. Because let me tell you, I don't care what people say. I know what Matrix Rage is about. Mm. Now she's going to go straight to Vitz. She's going to find some great guy from Palchim. Yeah. And now you've missed your chance, because you're not going to get to ask her out. So thoughts and prayers to all those guys. Mm. That first kiss, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Hey, what you
been building up pandemic, to Matrix. Okay? Yeah. You've been building up to the end of Matrix and a little holiday, and now it's all back burner. Sorry, guys.
Probably
all right.
Got a little gift as well.
Yeah, well, you have to recycle that. Give it to someone else. So here's another story that's interesting. Bladen Zimande has defended a 75% eligibility criteria for NISFA students. He has defended the government's decision to increase the eligibility criteria for students to pass 75% of their modules to qualify for funding. I don't know why we're paying for even 75. I reckon you should make it 80. You know, make it a distinction. If we as the people of South Africa, who are not your parents, are going to pay for you to go to university, you better be good at it, and you better pass, and you better have good results. Because you know there are a lot of people who we've paid for, and I say we because you, the taxpayer, are funding this, not Bladen Zimande. You don't want to pay for someone who's not going to pass their classes and their modules, right? Pumi, are you going to? You've already got a kid to pay for. You don't want to pay for some other person's kid, and then they don't get the results? Uh-uh.
You know, listen, Blade Zimande and his high-pitched voice irritate me anyway. But there are so many little things, you know, these pronouncements that come from on high. Mm-hmm. Say, this is this year's pronouncement.
Yeah.
Just irritate the living hell out of me, because there are so many things that they should be concentrating on. There are so many little things that they're not doing right. And then just this, like, oh, glib pronouncement. Oh, well, from now on, this is what we expect.
Yeah.
Like, do they pay the kids? Do they pay? Do they pay on time? Do they pay the tuition on time?
No, they don't. We know they don't. Kids,
like,
they don't. So it's run really badly. And it's not coming from Blade's pocket. He makes it sound like, ah, oh, I've decided you must all get 75% now. Anyway, it's bullshit. The whole thing's bullshit. I just wish everybody luck, because can you imagine how difficult university's been also in these last 2 years, specifically for practical subjects, where you have to be like in a laboratory or in the engineering class or building or making something. I mean, sure, you could do the humanities at a distance, but everything else? What if you're in the sciences or engineering or architecture, one of those disciplines where you have to be in the place to be able to do it? I feel like a lot of that is just a waste of time. Universities are seriously being tested at the moment. And I think a lot of people are looking at universities going, what are you there for? Like, how useful are you actually? It's a good question to ask. And then finally, you know the Travis Scott concert where all those people were killed? There are a few of these people who are furious because Travis Scott has offered to pay funeral costs. And some of these families have completely rejected this. They've said, there's one 9-year-old girl, I have to ask, why a 9-year-old is at a Travis Scott concert? But let's just put that aside for a second. The youngest of 10 concert goers that were killed during a crush at the Rappers Festival in Texas. The girl's name was Ezra Blunt. She was 9 years old. And Scott made an offer. Oh, he'll pay for the funeral. And now a lot of these families are launching multiple lawsuits against him over the tragedy. A lawyer for the 14-year-old John Hilgert called the gesture demeaning and inappropriate. Of all the things this case is about, that's the least of any concern, he told Rolling Stone. The family is set on making change and ensuring this never happens at a concert again. The crowd surge occurred during the headline set on the 5th of November. At the time, there were 50,000 people attending the festival. 10 of the victims have now died. The eldest was 27. Sure.
Sure.
It's a horrible story.
It's a horrendous story. It's a horrendous story. And when the videos came out, you know, it did remind me of.
Yeah.
Do you remember? And I mean, I think kind of in the 90s, a lot more of this kind of crowd searches. I think it was in Brazil, Michael Jackson concert, where people were crushed against the. And it reminded me of that so much. I was just like, how is this still like? All these many years later, this hasn't been solved. We haven't been able to solve this issue of like many people, one place, the excitement, and then sure. But it's a horrendous story. It's a horrendous story.
Recebek says apparently the concert was advertised as family friendly. Yeah, listen, I don't know. I haven't listened to a lot of Travis Scott, but I don't know how family friendly that is. Got to be honest with you.
Not at all.
No. So, all right, there are some headlines for you this morning. By the way, I've just got to tell you about this too. We've got an amazing podcast series. There are a whole bunch of them at the moment that you could listen to, completely aside from this show, which I recommend. And this morning, I'd like to tell you about episode 3 of a series we are doing called Opposed to Innovation, The Stories of Technologies That Changed the World. And it's hosted by Francisco Nwamba. It is brought to you by BMW, and it shares the tales of technologies that were shunned and ridiculed at the time, but went on to revolutionize the world. And since the dawn of powered flight in the early 20th century, the technology has served to empower business, to bring people together, and to make our planet a smaller and more connected place. But it took a while for the world to realize just what an achievement flight was, from those who said it couldn't be done to those who wouldn't believe it had been done, even after the Wright brothers and their success. And, you know, we take it for granted now. You're like, book a ticket. Let me go to Cape Town, or let me book a ticket and fly overseas. We forget that before flight, it was a...
Let our planes land.
if they'll let our planes land, exactly, especially with all this Omicron bullshit going on. But we forget that before that, it was a much more arduous process to get from here to there. And you had to sit on a ship for a couple of weeks. It's a much, much more lengthy, much less direct, less convenient process. And flight is just, you know, it's now every guy, every girl. You could pretty much get, if you buy at the right time, you could get a couple of hundred rand spent and you've got a plane ticket. It's amazing.
Yep.
Obviously not during peak times, and there are a lot of people who are canceling and rearranging and rescheduling flights at the moment because they're not sure what sorts of travel arrangements are going to be allowed in the next while. But maybe you're also thinking about this stuff in your own life right now. So listen to the show. It is amazing. Episode 3 is available now, cliffcentral.com, the Cliff Central app. You can get it on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to good podcasts. So get onto it immediately. Bolelo, have you managed to get those people ousted from your complex, the ones with the noisy child?
Well, no, I got an email confirmation actually last week. We were talking about it, is that finally this man and his children will be, without having to be evicted, they will leave the complex, which is great. He's moving back to India in May. So instead of looking for a new complex, I'm just going to stay, yeah, and just hold out. But it is a nightmare. I mean, two nights ago, like 9:30 at night, just a wailing child as I try and go to sleep. It's just like, oh my God.
Poor you.
I pay extra to live in this complex. Yeah.
Poor you.
Wish people stick to rules, yeah. But yeah, so no, yeah, okay. There is a God, you know. For me, not believing in God, here we go. In May, dude's off back to India with his family, and I couldn't be happier, I got to tell you.
How old are the kids?
You're like young. Like 6 and like a baby.
Yeah, you and that Pume girl, she caught so much smoke over the weekend, what happened? I think.
Who's this?
On Twitter.
Who's this post?
There's this person on Twitter who I think, you know, she just looks for the most inflammatory things that she can say. And she posted something about how nobody talks about it, but like people who have children in the workplace are so irritating, like these women, like, you have to go fetch your sick child. Like, yeah, but you know, what about the work, Jane?
Sure. So she's looking for trouble.
God, she caught so,
yeah, she's she looking
so
for
much
trouble.
Smoke. She caught so much smoke. So much smoke. She sounds exactly like Mbulelo.
No, except it's in the bylaws of my complex that you're not allowed a child below the age of 12 to live in the complex. So I'm not like her. There were rules, and this guy's transgressing on the rules twice, this baby. So I feel nothing.
Well, yeah. I mean,
your complex has rules like that?
Yeah, they have a no child rule at Bulelo's complex, and no animal rule, right?
Yes.
So Pumi, can you imagine Bulelo's just one representative of that complex's inhabitants? Can you imagine what joyless, miserable
people live in that complex?
And miserable ones.
So
who
like, happy.
We don't want children here. We don't want animals here. We don't want any happiness at
How
all.
How big's your complex, Bulelo? How big is your 25, complex? How many people?
25 units and
25
just
miserable
a bunch of grown
families.
Ups who swim at the pool without screaming. Yeah, hey, how's it? How you doing? It's all right. Yeah,
but let
like, garden's looking
do you guys,
great. Damn right.
Do you guys even put up any Christmas?
Do you have a pool?
Do you put up any Christmas decorations there?
No. We're not.
Bar
it's not the
humbug.
Gareth, it's not that place. It's not that place.
Yeah, it sounds like
here we
a real
civil.
Joy.
How's it going? Keep it moving. It's the perfect complex for me. Just all young working adults, except my next door neighbor.
Seamus says, if Bulelo ever finds a plus one, I hope he's blessed with twins first up. Then you'll have to.
And you know, I'm on the way. Like my sister has been told she's, because my grandmother was a twin, she's certainly having twins.
Uh-huh. But,
yeah. So I'm certainly, it's possible.
Oh, yeah,
what a nightmare.
That's what I hope for too. I hope so.
It's going to happen. You know it is. It's going to happen.
I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. Can't wait. Now the hump. the hump of somebody that can actually stand your annoyingness.
But yeah. I mean, Pumi, just can you imagine all these miserable people who live in that, those 25 units that Bulelo lives in? I mean, just I can't. I'm trying to picture these grumpy, sad, selfish, joyless people who none of them have
conscientious, no thoughtful.
Sure, no pets, no children.
Just, is there like an age? Is there an age? Kind of average age of the people who live in your complex in Bulelo. I almost
well, there must
like
be an average.
Like
what do you think it is?
I would say it's about 32 to 45.
Okay.
No. There's not old people where I live. It's not that place. It's not like a. It's not for old people. It's very much, I would say, young.
So not for young, old like, people and not for young people.
Yeah, no youngs, no olds. So just do you have enough money to live here, and are you considerate? Excellent. Call in here. It's a good way to live, I got to tell you. It's a great way to live.
I hate you people.
It's great.
Jamie says...
Nobody makes a noise, like 9 o'clock.
Oh, you just...
Dead quiet.
You're Scrooge McDucks, all of you. I love kids, but one of my biggest pet peeves is when people take the kids shopping with them and I have to listen to their whiny little... voices while I'm trying to escape for a GD minute. I'm not sure.
Okay. Goddamn.
Goddamn minute. Okay, got you. Anna Marie says, was your pool shut down in the complex when we had hard lockdown, and are people allowed to visit you if they have kids?
You're allowed to visit if you have kids.
Yeah.
Which is cool. But yeah, no, our pool was open. Get out of here. We all
because you're all responsible adults, right? You make your own rules. Okay.
No,
I mean,
No. Plus, I told you, our Karen lady who runs our complex is the gold medal winner of Karen's. She is phenomenal, dude. She's just phenomenal. That lady needs to be protected at all costs.
Dude.
She needs everything she does, we're moving and grooving. The complex is off the grid. So not only do I live, I thought it was the NEC thing, but part of this trying to get this man and his kids evicted out the complex, I found out that actually the complex I live in is off the grid on its own. We have our own power, which is so I never have, like, she's so good, this lady.
You don't have load shedding.
The gardens are immaculate.
Oh, I like
never. I've never had load shedding, not a minute of load shedding.
I think I want to come and move there now. You've made it sound extremely good.
No, you might
good.
Bring, I know you got a dog. No, I know you got a dog. I know you, I love your dog. It's a cute dog, but unfortunately, Gareth, I don't make the rules as much as I'd love to have you as a brotherly neighbor.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever.
What you gonna do?
Okay. There are lots of other questions here about your complex, but someone wants to know. Chilaka wants to know. Pumi, is that your son with the Omicron cough in the background?
I love that we're calling it
Chilaka. Chilaka. I actually had it on mute, so it's somebody else. I was on mute here, so I put it on mute.
Was no one else? No one else in my house.
Get
so
all his stuff.
Must be Mbulelo there.
It must be Mbulelo's boss.
Got someone there?
No, dude, you
raised this thing about these Karens or Karens, and you know it's become a bit of a slur. But I'll tell you something, and we talked about this during the elections as well. Those people, whether they are the typical stereotypical Karen or they just you know, have those personality traits. We need those people in society, man. They get stuff done. They are extremely efficient. They're reliable. They're dependent. They can be a real pain in the ass, but they're sticklers for the rules. And you need people like that. If you're going to have anyone administer stuff, those are the ones you want.
Absolutely. And the lady I've got, honestly, oh, man, she just... I don't know. I can't praise her enough. They're just, I want to do her eulogy, actually. Yeah, I must ask her. Now, you guys have actually reminded me that she deserves everything she gets. That's good.
Is she single?
Everything
is
in my
she
complex
single
works.
And is she single and alone?
No. She's got a, she drives a cool, a black Porsche as well. I don't really know cars, but Jesus. Like a cool Porsche. And she's like, she's moving and grooving, looks after herself. That's I'd say good. She's, close on 50 as well, but she's still like good shape, good sense of humor, and she's just awesome. Amazing.
Well,
I hope she never moves.
Yeah, today is
also... Do you know other people besides her in the complex? Are they a lot like you?
No.
They don't like pets and children.
No, I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody in my complex besides my neighbor and the lady upstairs, only because she was making noise once. I had to go ask her to turn it down. But I don't really know. It's not that complex. Hey guys, how you doing? Let's hang out, have a pool.
I must
like
say,
a complex.
I would love to have you as a neighbor, though, Mbulelo. I wouldn't have a problem with you as an because you're probably one of those neighbors who gets on with your own thing. You don't cause a lot of trouble. I don't think you are nosy. I don't think you're terribly involved with having to be in a community. You know, all that stuff that I kind of want from a neighbor is the sort of stuff that I think you already do. I don't think you would be a shit neighbor to have. Yeah. I prefer a neighbor like you than one of those busy, involved, you know, all over the place. And also someone who's constantly complaining or having parties every other day. I don't think you're one of those people. I think you're probably a very pleasant neighbor. You're probably not very high maintenance.
I do earphones for music all the time. Whatever I'm doing, I've got my Bluetooth earphones
on.
So you never hear me watching football or whatever. The only time you'll see me is going through the gate. Otherwise, I basically might not even live there, is what I try and be. That's what I try and be. No one's perfect.
Michael says, Mbulelo sounds like the perfect neighbor. Yeah, you do.
I try. I really try. I do try for you to never hear me. I try and be. It's also not because I'm a good person. It's also so that when I want to bring the hammer down, I've got all the sanctimony.
You got
in the
ammo.
Because I can't be. I can't be a hypocrite. I'm the guy blasting music. You know what I mean? What does it look like now when I say, "Hey, come on"?
So many people live in complexes or in smaller communities, estates, or whatever it might be these days, because that's the most secure situation. And let's face it, in South Africa, that's a consideration. I mean, even people in the suburbs, though, you need to know who your neighbors are. And I think during lockdown, many of us discovered for the first time who our neighbors were and maybe even what our neighborhood was like, because we were restricted, couldn't go to the places that were far away, and you kind of had to learn to deal with things. Plus, you might have needed to borrow some stuff from your neighbor or get to know them for all kinds of reasons. I was never a community type person, and I didn't even know who my neighbors were. Now my neighbor on the one side and I, we regularly communicate, even if it's on WhatsApp, but I'll kind of wave when I see him. He'll wave when he sees me. I've seen his kids playing around, and you know, it's a lot more friendly than it would have been before lockdown.
So there's a new guy in our complex.
Oh yeah.
He just been here for about 6 weeks. Starting to build, because our complex is still, people are still building, and it's all, oh my word, I don't even know what he looks like. Apparently he's someone on TV.
Oh really?
But literally 3 weeks in, he was already like causing shit in the community, like WhatsApp, because his builders wouldn't do this, his builders wouldn't like clean up at the end of the day, and the security had to like. And as I was just gearing myself up for like that, because I can get corny, as I was gearing myself up to it, and the security, we have the loveliest security guard. He got into an altercation with the security guard, was like threatening to call the EFF. And then I was just I'm ready for this guy. I was just like, I'm ready for this guy. And literally, guys, a week and a half later, because they were excavating, his excavations brought down one of the neighbor's walls.
No.
Ooh.
That's awesome.
And I was like, this guy is going digging it down for him.
Yeah.
What?
It went radio silent. Mm-hmm. Now there's no talk of like getting us all up, you know. Brought down the neighbor's wall. They tried to talk to him. Now he's AWOL. Took him to court.
There was
a court.
Oh my God.
2 days ago, guys, the second neighbor's wall has come down.
Oh shit, another one.
From his excavation.
From his excavation.
Ooh.
Oh, I hope he's a big star. This is awesome. It'll be juicy.
Oh.
I hope it's like a newsreader.
I don't
What if it's Vuyo Mbuli?
Vuyo Mbuli's dead.
What?
Vuyo Mbuli's dead.
Sorry, not
you think of Vuyo Mvoko.
Who's the other guy?
Vuyo Mvoko.
Yeah.
Well, we already have a newsreader here. We already have a newsreader here. So it's like,
wow.
But I was just like,
what if it's Nimrod? It's Nimrod. I've already decided.
You know
it's Nimrod.
Pumi's got some famous neighbors. This is exciting. Listen, he does sound like a douchebag, though. And if you're going to bring down your neighbor's walls, I mean, that's just not a great way to start in the neighborhood. So he's building. He hasn't moved in yet. He's still building.
No, he was just getting ready to start building. Mm-hmm. And I drove past the other day when they started with the digging, and I was like, I don't know if this guy got the right, like, advice from his, I don't know if he got the right advice from his architect. That digging doesn't look kosher. And literally, like, just a little bit of rain, 2 weeks later and a little bit of rain, the first wall came down. And I was just like, whoa.
Wow.
So I asked one of the other guys, one who a direct neighbor of his, do you know who this guy is? Who's this guy? I've never seen him. This guy is in the Dwangula. Apparently, so then there was the court case, and apparently it's going to be like $500,000 to fix the one wall.
That's incredible. Now you've got to bring us like lots of people here. Cabello's saying it's a whole series. This bring us the next episode next week, says Pumi. Damn right. The story of Pumi and Pumi and bad neighbors.
Is.
Yeah. But you don't know, huh?
I don't know. It's his one neighbor's the one that said he's somebody. I was like, who's this guy? I thought it was like a political somebody because of the EFF threat.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I thought it was like a political somebody. And it's like, no, it's not. It was like, no, it's somebody on TV. I'm like, somebody on TV? What? Like, where on TV? So
exciting.
I'll bring it, guys.
I love it. We've got to hear the story. This is very cool. That must be a hell of a wall. Jean says $500,000 to fix a wall. That's expensive stuff.
Because it needs reinforcement.
Yeah.
It's on an incline. It's,
oh wow! Okay, expensive stuff.
It's a.
Kawe says, call him the digger. Carl says it sounds like Pumi lives on the border of East and West Germany.
Guys, you know what I am going to do? I'm going to take a picture of the two neighboring walls. Because the wall that has come down is actually the wall bordering our complex with two complexes above us.
Okay.
So it's two separate complexes that he's brought up.
Oh my God. This guy's going to
take a picture.
Imagine that's how you start your relationship with your neighbors, by bringing down two walls. That's not a great place to be. If I were him, I'd sell that property and find another place to live, because that's not going to, your neighbor's just going to hate you from the get go.
It's the equivalent of picking a lady up for a date and punching her dad in the face.
Yeah, exactly. All right, listen, when we come back, it is the Burning Platform time on a Thursday morning, and we're going to be joined by some terrific guests in these last few episodes of the year in the Burning Platform. The first of them will be joining us shortly, and someone who's well known to the show, and we're going to ask him to extend his already fantastic expertise on our continent to some other stories in the news. That and a whole lot more on the way. CliffCentral.com. It's Thursday morning, the 2nd of December. CliffCentral.com.